With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
This is The Takeout with Major Garrett.
This week, former Kerry State Department insider Glenn Johnson on the Iran nuclear deal.
I think we're getting to a very dangerous place. The Iranian response can't be economic in the same degree that the U.S. is initiating action. So there's just a higher likelihood of confrontation.
Politics, policy, and a side of pop culture. The Takeout with me, Major Garrett.
This is the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
A scandal prompts the Labor Secretary's resignation.
It would be selfish for me to stay in this position.
Barry barrels down on New Orleans.
City officials say the storm will be a test for the levees protecting New Orleans.
And now, from the Capital One Bank Studios in the CBS News Washington Bureau, here's correspondent Steve Dorsey.
Let's start this weekend with another shakeup in the president's cabinet. Labor Secretary Alex Acosta resigning following new criticism of his role in brokering a 2008 plea deal with billionaire sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, who's facing new charges for sex trafficking in New York. More from correspondent Natalie Brand at the White House.
With President Trump at his side, Labor Secretary Alex Acosta says he's stepping down.
Cabinet positions are temporary trusts. It would be selfish for me to stay in this position and continue talking about a case that's 12 years old.
The president repeatedly praised Acosta and the work he did at the Labor Department.
I just want to let you know, this was him, not me, because I'm with him. He's a tremendous talent. We're going to miss him.
Acosta came under fire this week after wealthy financier Jeffrey Epstein was indicted on new sex trafficking charges in New York. The arrest focused new attention on a plea deal Acosta brokered for Epstein in 2008 when he was then a U.S. attorney in Miami. Epstein spent just 13 months in jail after allegations of molesting teenage girls. Acosta defended his handling of the case earlier this week.
The president said Deputy Labor Secretary Pat Pizzella will become the acting labor secretary, adding to the list of acting heads of departments within the administration.
I think you know Pat. He's a good man, highly recommended by Alex.
Acosta says he'll stay on the job for another week. He said with the economy doing so well, the focus must be on the Labor Department and not him. Natalie Brand, CBS News, The White House.
President Trump says he's moving forward outside the census with a count of U.S. citizens and undocumented immigrants.
It is essential that we have a clear breakdown of the number of citizens and non-citizens that make up the U.S. populations.
President Trump introduced an executive order directing his administration to collect citizenship information from everyone in the U.S. The order directs federal agencies to search available databases for information on whether someone is in the U.S. legally.
It will be, we think, far more accurate.
The move ended the president's quest to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census, which critics argue would have discouraged undocumented immigrants from participating. 2 weeks ago, the Supreme Court blocked the administration's effort to add the question, ruling the administration had not provided a sufficient justification for it. The government then began printing census forms without it. But President Trump vowed to continue fighting.
$15 to $20 billion. And you're not allowed to ask them, are you a citizen?
For the president, continuing the battle for a citizenship count is politically advantageous.
I think that he wants to create fear.
Vanita Gupta is a former Obama Justice Department official who opposes adding the citizenship question.
There's no question that there has already been significant damage, even by the sheer specter of the question being on and all of the kind of ensuing noise from the Trump administration.
Even though the president said in his Rose Garden event he was not backing down, the Justice Department said it will inform the courts that it will not include a citizenship question on the 2020 census. Paula Reed, CBS News, The White House.
In a legal victory for President Trump, a federal appeals court tossed out a lawsuit that sought to enforce the Constitution's emoluments clause over revenue Mr. Trump has made off of foreign officials who stay at his Washington, D.C. hotel. CBS's Stephen Portnoy reports from the White House.
The attorneys general of Maryland and the District of Columbia argue the Trump Hotel a few blocks from the White House attracts foreign officials, customers who, they argue, would otherwise have stayed at different properties in town. But a three-judge panel of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, composed entirely of Republican appointees, has thrown out the suit, finding the jurisdictions lack standing to sue. A separate case brought by Democratic lawmakers is still pending in the D.C. Circuit Court.
The U.K. ambassador to the U.S., Sir Kim Derrick, resigned Wednesday following leaked criticism of the Trump administration. More from CBS's Margaret Brennan.
Sir Kim Derrick's resignation came after days of unrelenting criticism by President Trump, who said he would no longer work with the British ambassador. And he continued to lash out on Twitter, calling Derrick wacky, pompous, and a very stupid guy. In a statement, Derrick said, "The current situation is making it impossible for me to carry out my role as I would like." Prime Minister Theresa May said she regretted that decision and hoped it won't prevent other diplomats from being candid.
Good government depends on public servants being able to give full and frank advice.
In one of the diplomatic cables leaked to the Mail, Derrick said the administration was clumsy and inept. The White House disinvited Derrick from a high-profile event this week, and British officials grew concerned that the president might actually cut off all U.S. government contact with their top diplomat in Washington.
Derrick is experienced and well-connected in Washington, and it's important to note that because what he said about the Trump administration was based on what he had learned from U.S. officials and friends of the president. In short, he was doing the job all ambassadors are asked to do, which is to act as the eyes and ears for their governments and candidly report back. The U.K. is investigating how this leak happened, but because President Trump took it personally and it became a political football in the U.K., Ambassador Derrick decided he could no longer do this job. Margaret Brennan, CBS News, Washington.
Turkey's acquisition of a Russian missile defense system Friday is further straining ties with the U.S. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports from the Pentagon.
Acting Defense Secretary Mark Esper said the Pentagon is aware that Turkey has received a shipment of a Russian missile defense system, something the U.S. strongly objects to because it's seen as a threat to the U.S. F-35 fighter jet.
Our position regarding the F-35 has not changed.
Turkey won't be allowed to participate in that program now and also faces potential new U.S. sanctions over the deal. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, the Pentagon.
Now to Barry as the storm dumps rain on the Gulf, including New Orleans. That's where correspondent Hillary Lane has more.
The National Weather Service, they're using terms like life-threatening floods. This was never going to be a wind event.
With all the rain, the Mississippi River is expected to crest at 19 feet, just a foot below the tops of the levees.
Obviously, conditions can change, so residents should stay vigilant and prepared should any changes occur.
City officials say the storm will be a test for the levees protecting New Orleans. Areas of Louisiana could get as much as 20 to 25 inches of rain. Drivers waited in long lines to fill up at the pump, while others filled sandbags to protect their homes in Lafitte. Residents say they aren't taking any chances with this storm.
Bring flashlights and good batteries and stuff like that, because that's the routine. This area right here, we always got to evacuate.
National Guard troops have been deployed around the state to help those stranded by the flooding. Hillary Lane, CBS News, New Orleans.
Coming up, why the sexual assault case against Kevin Spacey may fall apart. That's next on the Weekend Roundup.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, here's correspondent Steve Dorsey.
Vice President Mike Pence visited Border Patrol facilities, praising conditions there, following criticism of how Border Patrol officers are treating migrants, including children.
We're going to secure our border.
On Thursday, Vice President Mike Pence insisted agents inside detention facilities are keeping migrants safe.
They're providing health care, shelter, food, sustenance in a way that would make the American people proud.
Earlier this month, a scathing report by the Office of the Inspector General detailing squalid conditions in Border Patrol facilities quoted one manager who called the situation a ticking time bomb. Last week, we spoke to 22-year-old Liliana and her four-day-old baby after they were just released from one of the facilities. I was scared, she said. There was no place to shower or have hot meals.
This is a completely out of control situation.
Chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, Senator Ron Johnson, says agents are doing everything they can to keep families safe in overwhelming conditions.
Border Patrol facilities were never designed for families. They certainly weren't designed for this size of illegal flow.
Pence's visit comes as the Trump administration also moves to conduct raids in at least 10 cities to round up at least 2,000 undocumented immigrants currently under deportation orders. Mayors in several of those cities are telling their police departments to not cooperate.
Chicago is and will always be a welcoming city that will never tolerate ICE tearing our families apart.
Some undocumented immigrants are taking refuge in safe spaces like churches, including this mother of two whose children are U.S. citizens.
No le estamos haciendo daño a nadie, solo.
We aren't harming anyone, she said. We're just mothers seeking a better future for our children.
Mireya Villarreal, CBS News, Indiana, Texas.
The judge in the sexual assault case against actor Kevin Spacey in Nantucket said it could be dismissed after his accuser invoked his Fifth Amendment rights during a hearing Monday. More from correspondent Dean Reynolds.
The actor was not in court as the case against him took a number of surprising turns. Spacey is charged with groping a male teenager, now a 21-year-old man, at a bar in Nantucket 3 years ago. The accuser says he captured the alleged assault with his cell phone camera. His mother, Heather Unruh, described it.
He had shot a video of Kevin Spacey sticking his hand inside his pants.
The phone was given to the police, who later said they returned it to the family, but then it disappeared. Spacey's lawyers contended its contents were edited to help the accuser's case, adding that it is a felony punishable by imprisonment. When asked about it, the accuser's father, Nick Little, tangled with both Judge Thomas Barrett and Spacey's lawyer.
If you don't understand my question, just ask me and I'll repeat it. Okay.
I think you've had way too many questions that have gone
way
too far.
Sir, listen to me. You keep this up, I'm going to hold you in contempt.
By then, though, the accuser had already taken the Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination and refused to answer further questions about the phone. That moved the judge to question whether the case against the two-time Oscar winner is going to continue or collapse. Spacey's defense is expected to ask that the case be dismissed. Another hearing is set for the end of this month. Dean Reynolds, CBS News.
Singer R. Kelly was arrested in Chicago on Thursday night on new sex crime charges. NYPD detectives and Homeland Security agents made the arrest, Kelly's second, on similar charges this year. CBS News legal analyst Ricky Kleeman.
Did he transport a woman to New York? Did he film a woman to New York? Did he make some phone calls out of New York? There must be a nexus. But this time, they really may think that Chicago State's attorney has moved too slowly and that they are not going to take what they believe is a serial predator and let him take his time.
The World Cup champion U.S. women's national soccer team returned to the country to a ticker tape parade.
The World Cup winning team started the day with a ticker tape parade up the Canyon of Heroes and were cheered all along the route, mostly by young, aspiring female soccer players.
I'm just so happy I got to, like, be so close to them.
The parade was followed by a ceremony where they were given symbolic keys to the city. Megan Rapinoe used the platform to talk about more than just soccer.
This is my charge to everyone. We have to be better. We have to love more, hate less. We got to listen more and talk less.
Mayor Rubin, CBS News, New York.
The women's team has also amplified calls for gender pay equity. We're learning more about a fertility clinic mix-up that led to heartbreak and confusion.
I didn't get to hold him. I didn't get to have him inside of me. I didn't get to feel him kick. And, you know, those are bonding moments that I'm never going to get back.
Ani and Ashok Manukin are grateful for their son, Alec, but devastated over the moments they missed.
I mean, we're shocked.
Are you guys still in shock?
Oh, yeah. Our lives will never be the same again.
They claim the mix-up happened when Cha Fertility Center mistakenly implanted their embryo, as well as the embryo of another couple, into a woman living in New York City. The two babies were born March 31st to an Asian couple who thought they were having twins.
The day they were born, they had apparently called Cha and told them, okay, we're Asian and these children are white. They're Caucasian. These children are definitely not ours.
The Mnookins say they were then asked by the fertility clinic to submit their DNA. The next day, a company representative told them they had a son.
She said, think of it as a good thing. You have a son now. And then I just like burst out, like I just lashed out. What about the woman, you know? What is she going through right now?
The Mnookins endured a court fight to gain custody of their son. The other baby born to the New York couple was also returned to his biological parents.
It was hard. Not knowing where your child is, you know, not knowing if you're ever going to be able to get him back. We just sat there and just looked at each other and cried all day. Because we didn't know if we're ever going to see him.
On Wednesday, the Mnookins filed a lawsuit against Cha Health Systems with accusations that include breach of contract, medical malpractice, and fraud. The anonymous New York couple is also suing in a separate lawsuit.
This is just a failure of epic proportions.
Adam Wolf is the Mnookins' attorney.
I can't see how they could ever trust Cha again. What we hope happens through this is that there is not only just compensation, but accountability for Cha and an understanding this will never, ever, ever happen again.
Cha put my family through a living hell.
Cha has not responded to our repeated requests for comment. Over 3 months after the surprise birth, the Mnookins are now bonding with their new son.
How does he seem to be doing with the two
He's
of you?
He's doing great. Yeah. He's smiling, he's rolling over. Our kids are the light of our lives.
The Mnookins' attorney tells us that at least three women received embryos on the same day last August, including Ani and that New York couple. While Ani's did not result in a pregnancy, we're told that at least one of the embryos implanted in her was from a stranger. Jamie Yuccas, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Up next, remembering Apollo 11.
A point in history is being counted down, and from this point, men will count time just a little bit differently again.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
Crime. Justice. Impact.
Are you making this up?
Nope. Stories that change lives.
I take no pleasure having to interview with 48 Hours about this.
Get a clue. 48 Hours, Saturdays on CBS.
From the Capital One Bank Studios in Washington, this is the CBS News Weekend Roundup. Here's correspondent Steve Dorsey.
In a few days, events across the U.S. will mark the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission to the moon. And we, too, are celebrating it with a new special. Correspondent Peter King hosts Apollo 11 special, One Giant Leap Revisited.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Peter joins us from the Kennedy Space Center. How are you, Peter?
Steve, just great. It's always good to be out here at the Space Center. And, you know, you can feel kind of a buzz in the air with people excited about the 50th anniversary. Some of us, of course, are wondering, how did the last 50 years go by so quickly?
Well, let's start with where you are at the Space Center. How is NASA marking this anniversary?
Well, there are many things going on, and let's start with the anniversary of the launch, which is Tuesday. They are going to be doing something that involves us very heavily, replaying some of the CBS coverage from launch morning at the Saturn V Center, which is a publicly accessible part of the visitors complex. And there are going to be guest appearances by several astronauts, including at least one moonwalker that I'm aware of. So that's for starters. There are all kinds of things going on the 20th, which is Saturday night, and that's the anniversary of the landing and the moonwalk. Both here at Kennedy, there is a big gala and a concert going on. And out at Houston at the Johnson Space Center, they've got some big events planned there, too. So it's not just with NASA, though. I mean, there are celebrations going on around the country at various locations with people just commemorating a half century since we first sent humans to the moon.
And there's going to be a lot more activity in store at Kennedy Space Center over the next few years with NASA planning to go back to the moon. What do we expect?
The Trump administration would like the U.S. back on the moon by 2024, but there are a lot of things that need to happen along the way. And I hate to be a naysayer, this early in it, but we are still waiting for a lunar lander to be developed. They have to develop a gateway space station that they're talking about around that would fly around the moon. We're still waiting for the first space flight of the Space Launch System, the big rocket that would launch all the components the way the Saturn V did back in the 60s and 70s during the Apollo program. There is good progress on the Orion spacecraft, the command module, if you will, which has flown just once, but they just had a very successful abort test, and there are a couple of flight tests planned in the next couple of years. All of that, of course, has to come together very, very well with few problems in order to get back on the moon with human footprints by 2024. The biggest question right now is, will the money be there to make that happen? Mr. Trump has requested more than $1.5 billion over the next year to make that happen, $1.5 billion extra dollars in the NASA budget. But, Steve, you know the way Washington works. It's going to take a lot more money than that over the next 5 years to make it happen. The question is, will Congress go for it? That said, a lot of people are optimistic and a lot of people are pessimistic, but I think everybody is hopeful.
All right, let's go back to the year 1969.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
It was a transformational year for this country, and then we had the moon landing. Describe the setting for this country back then.
It was the end of the 60s that arguably turned out to be the most turbulent decade in American history. We are in the middle of the Vietnam War.
Next stop is Vietnam.
It was just like any ordinary Vietnamese village. Usually the ones that we go to are women, children, old men. What was happening is the people were being shot by the members of my company.
The women's movement was starting. The gay liberation movement, which is what it was called back then, that was starting to get traction then, too. We've just had the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots in New York City. You had Woodstock in the summer of 1969. Richard Nixon had just become the president.
I, Richard Bill House Nixon, do solemnly swear
that you will faithfully execute the office.
That I will faithfully execute the office
of President of the United States.
Of President of the United States.
With that as the backdrop, you had a group of astronauts getting ready to go to the moon, and something that the country could mostly feel good about in 1969.
Well, I was not alive in 1969, but I do see the old footage and hear the old archival sound of CBS covering that moon landing. Can you tell me the kind of role that this network played in covering that?
Well, it was huge, and you've got to remember that back in the day, there were only three networks. There was no cable, there was no satellite, so it was ABC, NBC, CBS, and everybody pulled out the stops to cover this, both on television and in radio. And in our special, you're going to hear Walter Cronkite from TV.
We're left here absolutely with dry mouths and speechless.
You're going to hear Reed Collins from CBS Radio, and I'm pretty excited that we were able to find that audio.
A point in history is being counted down, and from this point, men will count time just a little bit differently again.
On the television side, I mean, this was the biggest event that had ever been covered by television. The thing that helped was there was a lot of time to plan it. So they set up remote broadcasting locations around the country and around the world to show people how people were commemorating the first landing on the moon. In the States, it was everywhere from Disneyland to John F. Kennedy International Airport in New York. And I was there at Kennedy Airport watching a CBS big screen that night when Armstrong stepped out of the Lem Eagle and walked, took those first steps on the moon. But there were remotes from all over the world, too. Europe, London, Trafalgar Square, big screen set up in Central Park. It was really an event that brought everybody together. And I think everybody in our business looks at the Kennedy assassination, perhaps, as television's first huge event in that regard. Apollo 11 was certainly the biggest event that had been planned in that regard. And they did an amazing job of pulling people together at a time where satellite technology was still new and there were a lot of things that could have gone belly up that didn't do it. And at the center of all of this was Walter Cronkite on television, along with Apollo, Mercury, and Gemini astronaut Wally Schirra as his color commentator, if you will, and all kinds of guests during this marathon coverage that lasted all weekend long when the Eagle landed and when Armstrong and Aldrin walked on the moon and then left the moon.
Memories of an historic moment in U.S. and world history from correspondent Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center. Peter anchors Apollo 11 special One Giant Leap Revisited. Thanks again, Peter.
Steve, thank you.
Coming up on the weekend roundup, a flamingo rescue mission takes flight.
Without this human intervention, they have no hope of one day growing into the iconic pink birds.
Follow us on Twitter. We've got headlines at CBS News Radio. And I'm tweeting at Steve_Dorsey on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, here's correspondent Steve Dorsey.
New details emerging about a years-old cold case murder in Washington now being linked to Russian intelligence manipulation. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe explains.
CBS News has confirmed a Russian disinformation campaign helped push a bogus theory that Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign had paid to murder a Democratic National Committee staffer. Police believe the victim, 27-year-old Seth Rich, was killed after an attempted robbery 3 years ago in Washington. Details of Russia's involvement are outlined in a new report by Michael Isikoff of Yahoo News, who spent a year investigating.
We found that Russian trolls in St. Petersburg tweeted and retweeted about Seth Rich more than 2,000 times.
The story resonated with conservative commentators and Russian media outlets.
News alert, a brand new bombshell in the murder
of DNC staffer Seth Rich.
In the middle of the night, and police have no leads.
And it also found its way to the White House. Steve Bannon, a former senior advisor to President Trump, in March 2017 texted a 60 Minutes producer about the Rich case, calling it a huge story and claiming that it was a contract kill, obviously. The 60 Minutes producer confirmed receiving the texts, but 60 Minutes never pursued the story. The theory has been debunked by local police and the FBI.
It shows just how easy it is to manipulate news in this new era of social media.
So we should expect to see attempts to do this again during the 2020 campaign.
Anybody that wants to manipulate American public opinion, planting phony stories on social media is the way to do it.
Whoever killed Seth Rich is still at large. His is one of more than 200 unsolved murders in Washington since he was killed 3 years ago. Ed O'Keefe, CBS News, Washington.
A family cruise to the Caribbean turned to tragedy last weekend when a toddler died after falling off the ship.
We've all had that experience where someone walks into a glass sliding door thinking it's not there. This is the inverse of that.
The attorney for the family of 18-month-old Chloe Wiegand says she loved banging on the glass at her brother's hockey games. That's why her grandfather, Salvatore Anello, picked her up and sat her on a wooden rail in front of what he thought was a wall of enclosed glass windows.
He puts her up on there thinking that she's going to bang on the glass and it's going to be great. And she goes to bang on the glass and the next thing he knows, she's gone.
Chloe fell out the window from the 11th story of the Freedom of the Seas cruise ship while it was docked in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Puerto Rican authorities said they are investigating the incident and whether to pursue charges against Anello. But Winkleman says it's Royal Caribbean that needs to answer questions.
Why would you ever, in a kid's play area, put windows that passengers can open? It was reasonable to think that this was all glass, because from his perspective, it was all glass.
It's unclear if anyone witnessed the incident.
There should be no open windows in children's play areas.
CBS News travel editor Peter Greenberg says investigators will quickly be able to determine what happened on the ship.
Every modern large cruise ship has at least 900 separate digital cameras that are recording 24/7.
Correspondent Don Daler reporting. In South Africa, a massive rescue operation for baby flamingos.
Under a warming red light, these baby flamingos are hand-fed and cared for. Without this human intervention, they have no hope of one day growing into the iconic pink birds.
A lot of them cannot feed themselves. There were some eggs that were brought in as well, so we hatched them out and started hand-rearing them.
Sweena Liu is the bird curator at Dallas Zoo, flown in as part of a team of U.S. bird experts to assist with one of the largest rescue operations of its kind.
normally home to 20,000 flamingos. The Comfort Dam waters had completely dried up after extended periods of the worst drought on record across parts of South Africa. Unable to feed their newborn chicks, their parents left them to perish in the elements in order to save themselves. Eggs were abandoned, 3 to 4 day old chicks left behind, severely dehydrated, struggling to survive. Rescuers scoured the area, saving as many baby flamingos as they could. Then they watched as the tiny birds wriggled out of their eggs. Some so weak, they had to be helped.
So this is how the parents might feed them in the wild?
Here, the birds are in that awkward teenage phase, with their dull grey feathers, self-absorbed squawking, and constant demand for attention. Flamingos are not born with pink feathers. They turn this colour because of the algae and shrimp they eat in their natural habitat. So the teams have to replicate this in the food they provide. A few months later, it's their coming out party. Some of the birds are finally ready to be released back into the wild.
They're flying towards the wild birds.
It's an emotional day. This flamingo was so ill, she was named Zero, as they didn't think she'd make it.
She's my baby, although she hates us because of all the treatment she got and all the injections. I am sad.
Veterinarian Donovan Smith chokes up.
Happy she's being released.
Just under half of the baby chicks rescued have made it, and already over 500 have been released into the wild. They've been fitted with trackers, and one of the birds has been traced as far as Namibia, a country that's over 600 miles away from the South African dam. Deborah Pavis, CBS News, London.
For the first time, Anchorage, Alaska hit 90 degrees this month as the effects of rising temperatures take a toll on the state. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is there with more.
America's coldest frontier isn't built for tropical-like heat, but both humans and wildlife found unusual ways to cool off. In Alaska's dense forests, the heat is exposing a lurking danger.
So this spruce tree was attacked by spruce beetles this year.
Entomologist Jesse Moan says in 2018, the spruce beetle devoured more than 900,000 acres of forest.
What do you think is causing this spike?
Earlier springs followed by later falls allows those larvae to develop more in one season than they would have under some of our normal summer conditions.
The spruce beetle's deadly appetite is fueling the state's growing number of wildfires, which have burned more than 200,000 acres than last year.
Alaska's glaciers act as a kind of natural coolant by reflecting the sun's rays back into the atmosphere. But scientists say they're losing more than 2 feet in density each year.
The warming causes snow and ice to melt, which then frees up more of the ground to absorb more heat and the water.
Climatologist Brian Brettschneider.
It feeds off of itself in a downward spiral.
It's estimated climate change could cost the Alaskan economy as much as $700 million a year over the next 5 decades.
Is Alaska the country's canary in a coal mine?
Well, it really is for climate change because everything is so visible here.
Globally, glaciers are melting 5 times faster than they were 50 years ago. Jim, there is some good news here. Meteorologists say the weather in Alaska expected to drop back to the 70s, but still, scientists warn these heat waves could be the new normal.
Jonathan Vigliotti reporting from Anchorage, Alaska. Coming up, paying tribute to a Texas Titan.
I have lived the American dream.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
Sunday morning on CBS.
Good morning. I'm Jane Pauley.
Experience thought-provoking, innovative.
Look through a telescope and go, wow.
And truly original reporting on CBS Sunday morning.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup. Here's correspondent Steve Dorsey.
Greek police say a renowned American scientist was killed on the island of Crete. Correspondent Holly Williams visited the area where her body was found.
It's a macabre place, the dank Nazi bunker from World War II, where they discovered Suzanne Eaton's body.
Look how far that goes down there.
Greek police told CBS News the American biologist was suffocated to death.
And local officials have told us that they believe that Suzanne Eaton was killed elsewhere and then her body was placed or dumped inside this complex of bunkers.
The forensic pathologist who carried out the post-mortem told us her death was far from quick.
Had she been sexually assaulted?
I can't comment right now.
Suzanne Eaton was an extraordinary individual by any measure, an award-winning scientist, keen sportswoman, accomplished pianist, and mother of two. Sue is too great a person for her legacy to be defined in any way by how we lost her, her sister said in a statement, a strong, kind, brilliant, selfless human being. When she disappeared Tuesday last week, her family offered a reward for help in finding her. Yes, now Katerina Karkala-Zorpa is helping care for her sons and husband at the academy where Suzanne was attending a conference.
We saw that family coming and being very much touched by this, but also having all the strength to go until the end to find their mother.
Crete is a peaceful place steeped in ancient Greek mythology, and the locals here are horrified by this killing of a guest on their island. Holly Williams, CBS News, Crete in Greece.
A human trafficking mix-up.
A court in the Sicilian capital Palermo ruled that an Eritrean man extradited from Sudan because he was suspected of being a human trafficking kingpin was not the right man. The Eritrean man had been arrested in a coffee shop in Khartoum and extradited to Italy 3 years ago. The court ruled that it was a case of mistaken identity. The defendant cried with joy at the ruling. Sabina Castelfranco, CBS News, Rome.
A Vatican mystery deepens. Correspondent Deborah Rodriguez explains.
They pried open two tombs in a field near St. Peter's Basilica to find out whether the body of the missing daughter of a Vatican clerk was inside. Not only were her remains not there, neither were the bones of two 19th century princesses who were supposed to be buried inside. Emanuela Orlando disappeared after a music lesson in Rome in 1993. The search for Emanuela will continue, and a new one is beginning for the princesses. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Severe turbulence struck an Air Canada flight from Vancouver to Sydney on Thursday and sent unbuckled passengers crashing into the ceiling.
Sitting in front of me, the girl hit the plastic overhead and actually snapped and broke it. I think one of the stewards was badly injured, but the trolley fell on top of them.
Dozens on board were injured. The plane made an emergency landing in Honolulu. Two big car companies taking new steps toward self-driving vehicles.
Volkswagen and Ford laying out plans to work together to develop self-driving vehicles. VW CEO Herbert Diess investing $2.6 billion to gain joint ownership of Ford's Argo AI automated vehicle subsidiary.
The collaboration brings some of the smartest people in the field of autonomous driving together.
As part of the deal, Ford gets limited use of Volkswagen's electric vehicle platform in Europe. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
A major bourbon producer is getting fined over an environmental mess.
Jim Beam will be fined for a warehouse fire that contaminated nearby rivers with bourbon, resulting in a huge fish kill. John Murrow's with Kentucky's Energy and Environment Cabinet.
We will be assessing the whole incident, and I am sure we will be issuing a notice of violation.
A lightning-ignited fire last week destroyed 45,000 barrels of aging bourbon in Versailles, Kentucky. A 23-mile alcohol plume flowed through the Kentucky and Ohio rivers, killing countless fish. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
New details of the slow recovery from the wildfires that devastated Paradise, California last year. More from our Allison Keys.
The town of Paradise in the Sierra Nevada foothills has lost more than 90% of its population. California Governor Gavin Newsom says this after 85 people died in last year's November wildfire. In 2010, nearly 2,700 people lived there. A door-to-door survey in April finds the population is down to just over 2,000 residents. The wildfire destroyed most of Paradise and its neighboring communities. Newsom has now certified it as a rural area, making it eligible for loans and other federal development assistance. Allison Keys, CBS News.
Award-winning actor Rip Torn has died.
Rip Torn won an Emmy on HBO's The Larry Sanders Show as the sharp-tongued producer Artie, who had to deal with an insecure host and a meddling network.
Don't take this as a threat, but I killed a man like you in Korea, hand to hand. My boy doesn't want to do any more commercials. From now on, you'll talk to me.
Torn's movie credits ranged from The Cincinnati Kid to Dodgeball. He got an Oscar nomination for 1983's Cross Creek. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Finally this weekend, remembering a Texas Titan.
I have lived the American dream. I came from a very modest background.
One of the wealthiest men in the country when he ran for president in 1992. H. Ross Perot bought his suits at Men's Warehouse and, as he showed Morley Safer on 60 Minutes, drove an 8-year-old Oldsmobile. The Texans' populist campaign lasered on stagnant wages and big government.
Best kept secret in America, 1,200 private jets worth $2 billion flying government officials around. Why can't they fly and act like we do? Okay, go to the airport, get in line, lose your luggage, eat a bad meal, have a taste of reality.
The political reality of 1992 was ripe for populism. Perot railed against the Gulf War and out-of-control spending.
You got to cut general spending by $315 billion, business tax increases of $49 billion.
He joined Bill Clinton on the attack against George H.W. Bush, framing him as the protector of the status quo.
Wouldn't it be really tragic just to sit here playing Lawrence Welk music, you know, wonderful, 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 until the same thing happened in our country and millions of good, decent people are out of work and you spend 10 to 20 years to fix it.
With his homespun style.
I don't have any speech writers. Probably shows.
Perot became a favorite target of comedians.
Because I can't deal with a problem unless I can feel it, touch it, smell it, taste it, and touch a little more.
And won 19% of the vote, the most successful third-party candidate since Teddy Roosevelt.
Ross Perot died after a battle with leukemia. He was 89. Jim Axelrod, CBS News, New York.
That does it for the Weekend Roundup. Thanks for listening. The show's always online on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. We want to get your feedback. Drop us a line at weekendroundup@cbsnews.com. The Weekend Roundup is produced at the CBS News Washington Bureau. John Whitley is the technical supervisor. I'm Steve Dorsey, CBS News.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.